Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic Media News, app.
I'm Justin Finch. We now know that Hamas terrorists took 199 people hostage after last weekend's rampage. That from a new assessment from Israel's Defense Forces. Israeli troops continue amassing along the border, and civilians in Gaza continue trying to leave. ABC's Jordana Miller reports from Jerusalem.
Egypt refusing to open the Rafah border crossing, preventing American diplomats, citizens, and Gazans from seeking safety in Sinai as Israel continues its intense airstrikes against Hamas targets. The Egyptian closure also preventing the entry of desperately needed aid. UN officials warning of a looming humanitarian crisis as supplies thin. Israel did renew clean water supplies Sunday, but only to the south. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians unable to flee south, sure to suffer in Israel's expected assault on Gaza City. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
This is ABC News. Russia stepping up its attacks in Ukraine.
While the world's eyes are glued on Israel and Gaza, Russia is waging a major new offensive in eastern Ukraine, its biggest since last winter. The scale of the offensive suggests the Kremlin is trying to turn the tide after months defending against Ukraine's counteroffensive. But so far, Russia is suffering severe losses. Ukraine claims it's killed thousands of Russian troops in the last week. Patrick Reeval, ABC News, Kyiv.
Gunfire at the State Fair of Texas. Three people are hurt.
Sergio Brosi of Austin huddled under a table with his pregnant wife, taking video of the chaos that followed gunfire in the food court at the State Fair of Texas. But how did a handgun get onto the fairgrounds?
That is still being investigated.
The fair's Carissy Condianis.
It is the top priority right now to find out how this weapon made it into our fairgrounds.
None of the three shooting victims had life-threatening wounds. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are proposing what they call a parental bill of rights, which is likely to be vetoed if it ever makes its way to Governor Tony Evers. The bill has not yet been introduced in the Assembly or Senate. It would allow parents to opt their children out of classroom discussions about gender, sexual orientation, race, or any other subjects deemed controversial. A similar bill was passed by lawmakers last year, but Governor Evers vetoed it. Funding to help domestic violence victims in Wisconsin is declining, even as the number of victims of domestic violence reaches record levels. 96 people died as a result of domestic violence in 2022, the largest number since End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin began reporting data in 2000. To make matters worse, organizations like Shelters and Hotlines have seen a 70% decrease in federal funding. Advocates for domestic violence prevention programs are asking for part of Wisconsin's $4.1 billion surplus to help address the crisis. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The people. It's music from Patti Smith. People have the power. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And speaking of Patti Smith, it was on this date in 2015 that Patti Smith was said to be moved to tears after a fan returned a bag of stolen goods to the singer 36 years after they went missing. They included a shirt worn for a 1978 Rolling Stone cover shot and a bandana given to her by her late brother. The items went missing in June of 1979 when a truck, which was carrying $40,000 in amplifiers, guitars, and other musical equipment, was stolen from outside a hotel after Patti Smith and her band played a show at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. 36 years, and then she got the bag back on this date in 2015. It is 42 degrees in Richland Center right now, 44 degrees in Eau Claire. People have the power, indeed. It seems like people are using their power to, at least some people using their power to try to make the world a better place. So have you heard this story about the Minocqua Brewing Company? And they have a PAC, you know, a political action committee. They have a lawsuit. They brought a lawsuit against Wisconsin's school vouchers. And here is an update on that from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This just posted 3 hours ago. It says a Wisconsin Democrat is asking the state Supreme Court's new liberal majority to eliminate funding for the state's four taxpayer-funded school voucher programs and independent charter schools, while also lifting state-imposed limits on the amount of funding public schools can receive without a referendum. This is all stuff we were just discussing in the last hour. So if successful, this lawsuit would upend the state's K-12 education landscape by effectively eliminating the school voucher programs, one of which is more than 30 years old and used by nearly 30,000 children in Milwaukee. Private school voucher programs provide participating schools with a taxpayer-funded voucher to pay for the tuition for each student who is eligible to enroll in the program. The students are typically from lower and middle income families, and the state's first voucher program began in Milwaukee in 1990, but the number of vouchers exploded over the last 10 years after Republicans made it a priority to expand the program to the rest of the state. And some people would say that Republicans want to eliminate free schools, public schools. Last school year, about 29,000 students participated in the Milwaukee voucher program, 17,000 in the statewide program, 4,000 in the Racine program, and 2,000 in the state's voucher program for students with disabilities, costing a total of about $444 million, taxpayer dollars sent into the state by hardworking Wisconsinites, money that could have gone to the public education program if we didn't have these voucher programs. Back to the story in the Journal Sentinel. It says the lawsuit was brought by former Democratic candidate for the U.S. House and State Assembly, Kirk Bangstad, who owns the Minocqua Brewing Company and has created a political action committee using his brewery's namesake to raise money for Democratic causes. The brewery produces beer with politically themed names. The lawsuit, filed on behalf of seven Wisconsin parents and grandparents, asks the court to stop three state officials from continuing the choice programs: Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley, and Secretary of the Department of Administration Kathy Blumenfeld. The suit directly petitions the state Supreme Court to find that the public funding of the state's choice programs and independent charter schools is unconstitutional. While the court usually hears appeals in cases that have already been tried in lower courts, it does have authority to take cases brought directly to it. Public schools advocates applauded the suit, arguing that vouchers to private schools have drained resources from public schools, while private school advocates slammed the suit and vowed to fight it. Advocates for private school voucher schools said the effort would hurt thousands of low-income families throughout the state who use the programs to attend private schools. So, why is a Minocqua brewery involved in a lawsuit about Wisconsin school vouchers? Bangstad ran as a Democrat for Congress in 2015 and State Assembly in 2020. He has drawn attention for his outspoken political stances, hanging a giant Biden-Harris sign outside the brewery and battling with local government bodies. He started selling progressive beer with names like Bernie Brew and Fair Maps in 2020, and he launched the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC in 2021. The PAC has funded other suits in recent years, including one against the Waukesha School District for removing COVID precautions
and another alleging three Wisconsin Republicans conspired to keep Biden from becoming president. In May, Bankstad said he considered three major issues for the PAC to tackle: abortion, electoral maps, and public education. With legal efforts already underway on the first two topics, he turned to public education. He saw the voucher system as siphoning funds from public schools. Quote, "If we can prove that school vouchers are unconstitutional, our Supreme Court will strike them down and stop your tax dollars from flowing out of public education, benefiting the vast majority of students across Wisconsin attending public schools," he said in a note to supporters. So what are the grounds for the Minocqua PAC's lawsuit against the vouchers? The lawsuit is filed on behalf of Julie Underwood, a former dean of the University of Wisconsin School of Education, Charles Uphoff, former member of the Oregon School Board, Randy Wendt, former police officer and school counselor in the Arborvitae Woodruff School District, Tom Muller or Miller, a priest from Campbellsport, Angela Rappel, a special education liaison for Milwaukee Public Schools, Dustin Imre, a parent from Madison, and Scott Walker. No, not that Scott Walker. Scott Walker, in this case, is a parent from Prairie du Chien. And the case argues that the voucher programs violate the state constitution's declaration that public funds be spent for public purposes, alleging that vouchers defund public schools, do not allow for adequate public oversight, and do not hold private schools to the same standards as public schools. The attorneys are Brian Potts from Perkins Coie in Madison and Frederick Melms, who has a private practice in Woodruff, Wisconsin. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 52. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 34. High temperatures reach up to 60 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Upper 50s Wednesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Cooler Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
We've a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that life is a ball again. Laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous. Three's company too.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we got 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, 44 degrees in Amory, also 44 degrees in Hayward right now. And you probably heard the sad news that Suzanne Summers passed away, 76 years old. Suzanne Summers, of course, from Three's Company, that song, the theme song from that show. And also she was in a show called Step by Step. I didn't see that show, but I know that Three's Company was a pretty groundbreaking show at that time. So that was at that time when that show came out in what, the early 70s, it was pretty controversial to see two women sharing an apartment with a guy. And there was quite a bit of what they used to call the old TNA in that show. And Suzanne Summers was like the main object of the TNA that we saw back in that show back in the day. I'll give you a little bit of this story from the Los Angeles Times about the passing of Suzanne Summers. The headline says, Suzanne Summers, Three's Company and Step by Step star, dead at 76. It says, Suzanne Summers, who became a household name, after starring on the hugely popular TV sitcom Three's Company, died Sunday morning, yesterday, at her Palm Springs home. She was 76. Summers died of cancer just one day shy of her 77th birthday. That's right, she was born on this date, the 16th of October. She would have been 77 years old today. Suzanne Summers passed away peacefully at home in the early morning hours of October 15th. She survived an aggressive form of breast cancer for over 23 years, her spokesperson, R. Corey Hay, said in a statement provided to the Los Angeles Times that was shared on behalf of the actor's family. Suzanne was surrounded by her loving husband, Alan Hamill, her son Bruce, and her immediate family, the statement read. Her family was gathered to celebrate her 77th birthday on October 16th. Instead, they will celebrate her extraordinary life and want to thank her millions of fans and followers who loved her dearly. Now, do you remember who she played? She played Chrissy. Wasn't that her name? I believe so.
Let me get back to the story. It says Summers played Chrissy Snow, the effervescent blonde secretary on Three's Company, alongside John Ritter, who is also past these days, gone, and Joyce DeWitt. She's still around from 1977 to 81. So I was wrong when I said the early 70s. It was the late 70s, 1977 to 1981. She was dropped during the show's fifth season after a widely publicized salary dispute in which she reportedly asked for a raise. She was getting $30,000 per episode. She wanted a raise to $150,000 per episode, which would equal the pay of her male co-star, Ritter. Okay, so she wanted to be paid as much as the male in the male star of the show. But they said, nope, you're out of here. They fired her and brought in another Chrissy, or I'm not even sure if the replacement had the same name. The actor, who was born in San Bruno, California in 1946, would then go on to star in the ABC sitcom Step by Step alongside Patrick Duffy. That show ran in the 90s from 1991 to 1997. Summers headlined a Las Vegas show in the 1980s at the Las Vegas Hilton. And according to the actor, she performed a, quote, two-hour show 7 nights a week. She reprised her role as a Vegas entertainer in 2015 with a cabaret show called Suzanne Sizzles. Then in the 1990s, or I should say in the 1990s, her career became less about acting and more involved with selling her signature products, including exercise apparatus, most famously the Thighmaster. You remember those commercials? She also sold jewelry, sugarless chocolates, and diet books. In 2001, Suzanne Summers revealed that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer in the previous year. In an interview with The Times, she said she had surgery and radiation therapy, but declined to follow medical advice that she also have chemotherapy, electing instead to undergo homeopathic treatments. And that was kind of controversial at the time, too, because she said she wanted to do a natural treatment as opposed to the chemotherapy. Summers announced earlier this year that her breast cancer had returned. She said, I had breast cancer 2 decades ago, and every now and then it pops up again, and I continue to bat it down. She said in a statement, I have used the best alternative and conventional treatments to combat it. This is not new territory for me. I know how to put on my battle gear, and I'm a fighter. Following her initial cancer diagnosis, Summers transformed a modest licensing business, first launched in the late 1980s with the Thighmaster, into a global merchandising machine. She wrote more than a dozen books on nutrition, on blending families, on aging, and on surviving alcoholism. So Suzanne Summers, gone at the age of 76. A lot of people remember her from back in the day. 28 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Online and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. We now know that Hamas terrorists took 199 people hostage after last weekend's rampage. That from a new assessment from Israel's Defense Forces. Israeli troops continue amassing along the border and civilians in Gaza continue trying to leave. ABC's Jordana Miller reports from Jerusalem.
Egypt refusing to open the Rafah border crossing, preventing American diplomats, citizens, and Gazans from seeking safety in Sinai as Israel continues its intense airstrikes against Hamas targets. The Egyptian closure also preventing the entry of desperately needed aid, UN officials warning of a looming humanitarian crisis as supplies thin. Israel did renew clean water supplies Sunday, but only to the south. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians unable to flee south, sure to suffer in Israel's expected assault on Gaza City. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Two people were killed and one arrested after a shooting incident in Ashland, Wisconsin on Saturday. Authorities responded near the Dollar Tree on Lakeshore Drive East around 2:30 a.m. on Saturday after receiving reports of gunshots. When they arrived, they found two male victims dead with gunshot wounds near the original call location. A person of interest was found near the scene and arrested. The names of the victims and person of interest have not yet been released, and the incident is still under investigation. About halfway through Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a bipartisan bill to support those at risk for breast cancer is making its way towards a committee vote in the state Senate. The bill is designed to help women who have dense breasts receive treatment to detect breast cancer in its early stages. The legislation would allow the state to cover the costs of additional diagnostic screenings, as women with dense breasts are 4 to 6 times more likely to get breast cancer than women who don't. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Try not to talk too loud. Maybe it's because I'm walked into the door again. If you ask, that's what I'll say. It's not your business anyway. I guess I'd like to be alone. Nothing broken, nothing wrong. Just don't ask me how I am. Just don't ask me how I am. Just don't ask me how I am. My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was. And they only hit until you cry. And after that, you don't ask why. You just don't argue anymore. Just don't argue anymore. You just don't argue anymore.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:36 right now, 43 degrees in La Crosse and 38 degrees in Richland Center. Music from Suzanne Vega, a song about domestic violence. Yeah, kind of strange. There aren't very many songs about domestic violence. But, you know, we were talking earlier about racial hatred or religious hatred. But now we got to talk about domestic violence. There's a new report that just came out today, and it does not look good for Wisconsin. In fact, we broke a record last year in the number of domestic violence deaths. And as if that isn't bad enough, what makes it even worse is the fact that funding for programs to fight domestic violence, the funding is drying up, in fact, quite a bit. This is a crisis in the state of Wisconsin. In fact, that's what the headline says in the Journal Sentinel, a crisis, with a colon that says, domestic violence deaths rise in Wisconsin, but funding for victims plummets. And this piece was just posted this morning because this study just came out today. It says domestic violence keeps taking the lives of Wisconsinites at record levels while funding to help victims is drying up, pushing the state to a crisis point, a new report shows. Wisconsin broke the record for domestic violence deaths again in 2022, with 96 lives lost, according to the annual statewide homicide report released Monday, today, by End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. This is the highest total since the advocacy organization began releasing the data in 2000, and a 20% increase from last year's total of 80 people. And here's a quote. People are dead, and more people will die, and we have an opportunity to do something different, said Monique Minkins, End Abuse's executive director. The rising death toll comes as organizations across the state confront a 70% drop in federal funding that helps keep shelters open, hotlines staffed, and advocates available to assist victims and their families with safety planning, securing basic needs, and more. Quote, I think we're facing a crisis like no other that I've seen in my time in this field, said Carmen Petre, president and chief executive of Sojourner Family Peace Center in Milwaukee. The group End Abuse and other partners are pushing local lawmakers to fund those programs in the short term using a small fraction of the state's estimated $4.1 billion surplus. So here's what you need to know about lethal domestic violence in Wisconsin, the funding crisis for providers, and what advocates say is needed to fix it. First of all, domestic violence resulted in 96 deaths in Wisconsin. 96 people died in domestic violence incidents last year in the state. 68 people were killed in domestic violence homicides, while 18 perpetrators died by suicide, according to the report. Three perpetrators died by suicide during a law enforcement response. Three were killed by law enforcement, and three homicides were deemed self-defense. The report also includes the death of one perpetrator who died by suicide after an attempted homicide. Victims were all ages from all parts of the state. Homicides occurred in 25 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, with a nearly even split between rural and urban areas. Victims' ages ranged from 20 months to 92 years, with an average age of 37. About 48% of the victims were white, while about 45% were black. The report cites research showing women of color are overrepresented compared to their share of the population, in part because of structural racial inequalities in housing, income, and access to safety resources. Perpetrators of domestic violence homicide incidents were overwhelmingly male. They ranged in age from 17 to 79 years old, with an average of 40. Those were the perpetrators, 17 to 79. Shootings make up the majority of the homicides. Firearms remained the most common weapon used in domestic violence homicides and made up a larger share of deaths than in past years. In 2022, guns were used in 88.5% of fatal domestic violence deaths. Let me read that again. It says in 2022, guns were used in 88.5% of fatal domestic violence incidents, compared with 67% of incidents in 2021. Domestic violence assaults using a gun are 12 times more likely to result in death than those using other weapons or bodily force, the report notes. 12 times more likely with a gun. Wisconsin will see a 70% cut in federal funding to domestic violence and sexual assault services. The State Department of Justice's Office of Crime Victim Services estimates $13.5 million in grant funding will be available to local providers in Wisconsin over the next 3 years, and that is a sharp decline from the last funding cycle, which had $44.5 million over 5 years. The funding flows to states from the Federal Victims of Crime Act, which has steadily declined in resources since 2018. The pot of money comes from fines and penalties collected in federal criminal court cases. Congress did address the funding formula in the so-called VOCA fix. Keep in mind, VOCA, V-O-C-A, stands for Victims of Crime Act. So Congress did address the funding formula in the so-called VOCA fix legislation in 2021, but advocates say it will take years to replenish the fund. So across Wisconsin, 135 programs use that funding, the VOCA funding, the Victims of Criminal Crime Act funding. The Office of Crime Victim Services, the state office, estimates when the cuts take effect next year, it will only be able to fund 52 of the programs, 52 out of the 135 programs, according to Jenna Gormall, End Abuse's public policy director. In addition, the state is going to cap VOCA funding at $250,000 for each organization, Gormall said. In Wisconsin, 89 programs serving domestic violence and sexual assault survivors receive the VOCA funding, and more than half received more than $250,000, she said. If they are relying on VOCA funding, those are closures, Grimal said. That's not just programs shutting down. That's whole entire organizations absolutely obliterated. It's going to be devastating, end quote. Another change in recent years was how the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families awarded grants from another part of funding to local providers. Historically, mainstream domestic violence programs reliably received funding from the department without competing, allowing them to budget and plan for the money. But that meant newer, often culturally specific programs did not have access to this funding. Then the department switched to a competitive process, meaning all programs could apply for this funding. However, the total grant amount remained the same, so more agencies are applying for the same pool of money. Governor Evers proposed more state funding in his budget process, but a Republican-controlled committee rejected it. Governor Evers proposed spending $20.2 million annually in domestic violence services in his budget. That's an increase from $12.4 million annually. He also proposed an additional $14 million annually to continue the Living Independently Through Financial Empowerment program. The pilot project used federal pandemic relief funds and provided temporary assistance totaling $3,500 over 3 months for victims of domestic violence. So hopefully our lawmakers and our governor can come together on something to help out the victims of domestic violence. It's, I would say it's pretty darn important. We got 9:46 right now, almost 9:47. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody of it is worth.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 52. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 34 tonight. High temperatures reach up to 60 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Upper 50s Wednesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Showers continue.
I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 43.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Don't let your cowboys grow up to be babies. Chicken fried steak, beetle mill gravy. He's gonna make you proud that he's your son. He may wanna ride across the border. It don't do no harm to souls or moose. He might even find himself a wild one. Some see on your home.
Oh yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It is 9:51 right now, almost 9:52. Music from Dale Watson, bringing us back into the final segment of this show for today. We got 45 degrees in Eau Claire and 44 degrees in Amory right now. And I came across an interesting story I thought I would share with you. This is from the New York Times, posted a few days ago, October 12th, this was posted. And it's about the human brain. What do you know about the human brain? Well, evidently, we know a lot more now than we did just a few days ago. But one thing we found out is that the human brain has a dizzying array of mystery cells. That's the headline from the New York Times. It says researchers identified some 3,300 types of brain cells, 3,300 different types of brain cells. That's an order of magnitude more than was previously known, and we only have a dim notion of what most of these brain cells actually do. This New York Times piece says an international team of scientists has mapped the human brain in much finer resolution than ever before. The Brain Atlas, a $375 million effort, started in 2017, and it has identified more than 3,300 types of brain cells, an order of magnitude more than was previously reported. The researchers have only a dim notion of what the newly discovered cells do. The results were described in 21 papers published on Thursday of last week in Science and several other journals. Ed Lean, who is a neuroscientist at the Allen Institute for Brain Science in Seattle, he led five of the studies. He said that the findings were made possible by new technologies that allowed the researchers to probe millions of human brain cells collected from biopsied tissue or cadavers. Quote, it really shows what can be done now, Dr. Lean said. It opens up a whole new era of human neuroscience. Still, Dr. Lean said that the Atlas was just a first draft. He and his colleagues have only sampled a tiny fraction of the 170 billion cells estimated to make up the human brain, and future surveys will certainly uncover more cell types, he said. Biologists first noticed in the 1800s that the brain was made up of different kinds of cells. In the 1830s, the Czech scientist Jan Purkinje discovered that some brain cells had remarkably dense explosions of branches. Purkinje cells, as they are now known, are essential for fine-tuning our muscle movements. Later generations developed techniques to make other cell types visible under a microscope. In the retina, for instance, researchers found cylindrical cone cells that capture light. By the early 2000s, researchers had found more than 60 types of neurons in the retina alone. They were left to wonder just how many kinds of cells were lurking in the deeper recesses of the brain, which are far harder to study. With funding from the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Lean and his colleagues set out to map the brain by inspecting how brain cells activated different genes. At least 16,000 genes are active in the brain, and they are turned on in different combinations in different types of cells. The researchers collected brain tissue from several sources, including people who had recently died and those who were undergoing brain surgery. When studying fresh brain tissue, the scientists attached glass tubes to the surface of individual cells to eavesdrop on their electrical activity. They injected dye to make out their structure and finally sucked out the nuclei from the cells to inspect them more closely. Rather than carrying out these procedures by hand, the researchers designed robots to work efficiently through the samples. The robots have inspected more than 10 million human brain cells so far, Dr. Lean estimated. Some of the newly identified cells were found in layers of cerebral cortex on the brain's outer surface. This region is essential for complex mental tasks, such as using language and making plans for the future. But the new studies reveal that much of the brain's diversity lies outside of the cerebral cortex. A vast number of the cell types uncovered in the project lie in the deeper regions of the brain, such as the brain stem that leads to the spinal cord. The researchers found many new types of neurons, cells that use electric signals and chemicals to process information. But neurons make up only about half the cells in the brain. The other half are far more mysterious. Astrocytes, for example, appear to nurture neurons. They appear to nurture neurons so that they can keep working properly. Let's see, microglia serve as immune cells attacking foreign invaders and pruning some of the branches on the neurons to improve their signaling. And the researchers found many new types of these cells as well. So it sounds like they are making some headway, so to speak, but it sounds like they got a long way to go if they still don't know what half of the cells are actually doing in our brains. Got 9:58 right now, time to wrap up this show for the day. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you learned something. Hope you have a great day today, and do something nice for someone. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits, the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and copays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the... You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.